Hello, I'm Juliette Bianco, Assistant Director at the Hood Museum of Art. It is my pleasure to interview Dr. Jacqueline Boss, Director Emeritus of the University of California, Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive, and an independent scholar. She served as Chief Curator and then First Director of the Hood Museum of Art at Dartmouth College. While at Dartmouth, she made the commission of the Epic of American Civilization a topic for research and scholarship and contributed to the Hood's 2002 exhibition, Jose Clemente Orozco in the United States, 1927-1934. Dr. Boss, can you tell me how Dartmouth's commissioning in 1932 of a mural by a Mexican artist fit into Dartmouth's understanding of itself as a teaching institution?
Well, a very important factor in this were some faculty members in the art department. At that time, in the late 20s, early 30s, the Mexican muralists were in the United States. The situation in Mexico wasn't good for them. And there was quite a bit of interest on the part of educators at Dartmouth, both in Mexico and Latin America in general, and in the art department, in Mexican artists particularly. Dartmouth is an interesting institution in that it's a very remote place in terms of its location, but I think it's fair to say has always had a kind of international scope in terms of its thinking, and certainly the idea of bringing a Mexican muralist to Dartmouth fit in with that self-image of a place that reached beyond the borders of the United States.
What was the impetus for commissioning such a large work?
Well, it's larger than it was first thought of. I think impetus is exactly the right word, because two faculty members in the art department, Artemis Packard, who was the chair, and Jerry Lathrop, who was a young faculty member and still around when I came to Dartmouth. I was very fortunate to know Jerry, and he was a great resource for all of us in terms of the mural and Orozco. These two faculty members just made up their minds that they wanted a mural for the art department. Carpenter Hall was finished, I believe, in 1929, and the library had been built just before that. And so they thought, great, Carpenter Hall needs a mural. And they, from the beginning, thought Orozco was the best of the Mexican muralists working at that time. They were kind of a minority voice, and in fact, the other factor was the Rockefeller family, which of course has been very important to Dartmouth over time. Nelson Rockefeller, Dartmouth class of 30, I think, had been a student of Jerry Lathrop's, and so this probably further encouraged them to think they might be able to come up with some funding to actually bring a Mexican muralist to Dartmouth.
What was the response of the Rockefeller family?
You know, I think they couldn't really ask them directly. I think it was kind of indirect, but of course, faculty have their ways when they want something. The first response was, of course, the artist at Dartmouth should get would be Diego Rivera, who was by far the more famous of the two at that time. And so what Lathrop and Packard did was organize a couple of exhibitions of works by Orozco, lithographs and drawings, small exhibitions so that people would get to know his work. And they prevailed. What actually turned the corner was when Orozco offered to come at his own expense to look at the location where the art department was thinking of the mural. And it is not where the mural is now. At that point, in what is now a quite a dreary corridor between Carpenter Hall and the reserve reading room in the library, that space was larger and more open at the time. The stack wing that has since been built to the library was not there yet. So the art department was thinking of that particular space, and that's what they had been talking to Orozco's dealer, Alma Reed, about. When he offered to come and look at the space, that really got them excited, and they thought, great, this is a little bit supposition on my part, but it seems they went to Hopkins and said, you know, here's our chance to have a great artist come and do a demonstration mural as a course, a kind of mini course, and we can use this lecture budget that Mrs. Rockefeller has set up. And so he came, and I suspect that even before he came, Packard and Lathrop were already eyeing the reserve reading room. I just had the feeling. Anyway, at some point, the three of them made their way to the reserve reading room, and when Orozco saw that wall, I think he really became very excited. And people seemed to like him at Dartmouth. He was, from all accounts, a very quiet, taciturn person, but an interesting person, and certainly a person of great integrity and moral courage. I think that always came through. And so it was felt at Dartmouth that he would be a great example for the students, and to have this artist working here for a period of time would be a very great thing. President Hopkins was very supportive the whole way, and it certainly wouldn't have happened without him.
Can you tell me the contents of the letter that was sent to Abby Aldrich Rockefeller, convincing her that Orozco was the artist for Dartmouth?
Well, we don't have her letter to Artemus Packard, who was the chair of the art department, but he was responding to a letter or a communication from her that would obviously was in response to something from him about bringing a Mexican muralist to Dartmouth. He responds, well, of course, Rivera would be wonderful. He would be a fine, upstanding artist and so forth. But, you know, this could be a real opportunity to do something really great and bring a series of artists to Dartmouth. And Packard didn't really lay this out. He said, we want to bring Orozco first. He didn't make that clear. What he was doing was sort of tactfully saying, well, Rivera, maybe he can be the next one after this one. And then he says something that, of course, these days sounds very funny. He says, I think a small endowment would do it. It wouldn't take a lot of money. But, of course, this kind of thing does take money, effort, and everything else. And so the Orozco mural was the first and the last major installation piece here at Dartmouth.
You said that President Hopkins was really behind this commission and the interests of the art department, and also that so many people came to Dartmouth and they are shocked that in this small New England community there's this major work by a radical Mexican artist. What do you think the culture or the ethos of Dartmouth was like at the time to make something like this possible? What was Dartmouth like in the 1920s that would have made this possible?
Well, I would have liked to have been there, actually, and gotten a sense. My sense of Dartmouth as someone who was here in the 80s is that it's a place of very strong contrast. So on the one hand, you have a very strong conservative streak. On the other hand, you also have a very strong radical streak. There seems to be, you know, every action generates an equal and opposite reaction. So it's a kind of culture of opposites. And the art department members, Packard and Lathrop, they genuinely believed this was the best art being made at this time. And they were determined to get a Mexican muralist working at Dartmouth. And I think this sort of passion to bring the best, no matter what it takes, is a very kind of Dartmouth thing. Even though it's a small college in a remote place, you know, this is what Dartmouth students deserve, the sense that Dartmouth students deserve to have the best, partly because Hanover is not in the middle of New York City. It isn't it's not in a major metropolitan center. Students really need exposure to works of art of all kinds, of the very highest quality that the college gives them, because they're, you know, they're not likely to get it easily in other ways. So I really think it's a commitment to teaching and a commitment to students that generated this kind of thinking. What generated that mural was, of course, that particular artist. And Orozco, when he began, I do not believe he intended that it was going to build to the kind of crescendo it does. He had laid out a very careful, reasonable plan that had to do with New England and the history of the Americas, and it was all very sort of 30s social subject matter. But being the artist he was, once he got going, he just kind of got inspired. I think that's the only word for it. And I think by the time he got to the panel that shows the skeleton giving birth on a pile of books, you know, I think there was probably quite a bit of holding a breath around, thinking, now what? Now what are we going to do? But there seemed to have been, in fact, he said that no one ever told him he couldn't do what he was doing. And so then by the time he got to the Christ on the cross, I mean, that is a really shocking image, even now. And I really think it's to Dartmouth's credit that he was never censored. He was never told, no, this is too strong, this is too much. He was allowed to do what he thought was right. And, you know, he was the kind of artist who really painted from the heart, and this is the direction it went, and that's the way it happened.
You mentioned the panel with Christ on the Cross, and I remember right after 9/11, we were working on the Hood's Orozco exhibition, and one of his easel paintings, titled The Dead, he painted it in 1931, depicts several buildings in New York City that are torn apart. I was emotionally affected by this work in a way that I certainly would not have been before 9/11. His work comes back to us as great art should, and I'm wondering if you can comment on what it is that remains so very contemporary about his work. What do you think it is about Orozco that holds on to us after 75 years?
Well, I think it is the quality of his artistic imagination. You know, it's interesting to compare the Dartmouth mural with the contemporary mural Rivetta did at the Detroit Institute of Arts, which is called Detroit Industry, and it's certainly as large, in fact it's probably larger, and it's a very beautiful mural. I mean, it's really a stunning, stunning work. But that mural looks like it was painted in the early 30s. You know, it feels very much of its time. Not that that's bad, it's very interesting for that reason. You can learn a lot about the era in which it was painted. With the Dartmouth mural, it always looks current. It's a pretty amazing quality that it has, I think. It has historical figures in it, but the message really feels very, very contemporary. And I think the one exception to that is the section across from the reserve desk, which he did as a kind of coda or afterthought in a way. I think he wanted to kind of come down and do a little epilogue, so he did this really quite lovely panel of a worker reading a book, which he clearly meant to relate to the educational mission of the college. That feels very 30s, that particular panel. But the rest of it does not. The rest of it feels very, very fresh. It's just a remarkable work.
The Epic of American Civilization is thought by many art historians and critics to be perhaps the greatest mural cycle in the United States. Why do you think it has received this kind of acclaim?
Well, because it is. You know, I talked about that a little bit when I talked about Rivetta and I compared them. I think the Dartmouth mural and the Detroit mural are the two most important murals. I may be overlooking something, but I, you know, haven't come across it. And the Orozco mural, I mean, just its quality as a painting. Rivetta worked from cartoons, full-scale cartoons, the outlines of which were then transferred to the walls, and he had assistants working on that mural. So it's not completely autographed, mostly, but not completely. And it has a worked quality to it. And there's a little panel in the Dartmouth mural that was the very first panel Orozco did. And it's the one on the left-hand long wall as you face the reserve desk over the right-hand door. And it shows European knights carrying a cross. It's a small panel. And its style is completely different from the rest of the mural. It's done in little strokes. And Orozco is quoted as saying that it's like little dog licks, like a dog licks himself. He's licking himself. So little licks of the brush. You get little brush strokes. I believe he did that panel that way. That was the kind of test panel that was just before he signed the contract to do the whole mural. And I think he was trying to restrain himself, frankly, to paint like Rivetta, who was such a successful muralist. Then, once he signed the contract, you see all of a sudden this great loosening of brushstroke, these tremendously strong colors begin to come up, as well as strong subject matter. You just see him letting go and painting as only he could paint.
I'm wondering if you could just, on a personal note, talk a little bit to us about your own interest in the murals and what draws you back to them over the years.
Well, when I came to Dartmouth, I was a little bit horrified, frankly, to learn that it was about to be the 50th anniversary of this mural. My original field had been French 19th century, so think Impressionists, you know. And so an Expressionist painter, particularly a Mexican Expressionist painter like Orozco, would not have been my first choice to work on. But when you're in museum work, you work on what's where you are. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so I thought, okay, we're going to learn about the Mexican muralists. And it was actually just what I needed at the time, I think, to be pushed in a direction that temperamentally I didn't want to go in. And of course, what happens when you do that is you get changed in a way that broadens your entire outlook. In fact, in an interesting way, what happened to me was what Lathrop and Packard wanted to have happen to Dartmouth students. That this would maybe not be the kind of, well, certainly not be the kind of thing that they would have seen in their hometowns where they came from, and maybe not the kind of thing they would choose to see. But if they were doing their reading in the reserve reading room, they were going to see it day after day after day, and it was going to have an impact on their lives. And so, yeah, I was kind of their victim, too, along with all these other Dartmouth students. But it's a work of art with a very deep, shall I say, humanist vision, and not a particularly optimistic, certainly not idealistic vision. It's a visionary work, but it's a work that says, you know, we really have to go beyond anything we know in order to achieve what it means to be a human being. And so that's what that last panel means in terms of the destruction, not only of the symbols of religion, but of warfare. I mean, they're both there. And so, yeah, it was an experience.
Is there anything you haven't said that you would like to say about the murals?
You know, I guess I would just add to what I just said about how the mural affected me and changed me, making it also changed Orozco, and I love his final quote. He actually said it to a gathering of students the night before he and his family left. He says, "I'm only beginning to understand what I have done and what all of this has done to me." So the process of making a work of art like this is also a transformative experience. And I think, you know, that is what we feel when we experience this work of art. It's a transformation the artist went through and the potential transformation for us if we're willing to engage with this content.
What did Orozco do just after finishing the murals at Dartmouth?
He went back to New York for a little bit with his family. He had been able to bring his family up for most of the time he was here. They went back to New York, and then he went back to Mexico. And he painted this incredibly strong mural called Catharsis, which is very unpleasant, is all I will say. It's a very negative depiction of Mexican culture. So it's almost as though coming to Dartmouth and being given the freedom to do this mural here, a mural that was critical of U.S. culture, it seemed to liberate him. And when he went back to Mexico after completing the Dartmouth mural, he did this very powerful negative mural around Mexican and international culture. It wasn't just Mexico. And then he went on to do some many very socially critical murals and the great cycle in Guadalajara, which is just one of the great mural cycles in the world. So before I'd gone to Mexico, I imagined naively that the Dartmouth mural must have been the high point of his career. It was not.
Thank you for listening. For additional information, please consult the free brochure available in the Reserve Corridor at the Hood Museum of Art and for download at the Hood Museum of Art's website, www.hoodmuseum.dartmouth.edu. Two walking tours of the murals by Dartmouth professors Mary Coffey and John Watanabe are also available at the Reserve Desk and for download on the Hood's and the library's websites.